Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Every week, we chat with an influencer or influencers to see what makes them tick. And this week, we're talking about the San Francisco Blogging Club and how to make a blog book with our special guest, Marie Newlands, who I believe is on the air with us. Marie, are you there? A little bit of technical issues trying to get Marie live on the show. So if he hangs tight, we have a couple of people that will be joining us. We have Marie Newlands, who is the founder of not only the San Francisco Blogging Club, but also the London Blog Club. And then we have a couple of other people, special guests joining us. Who do we have on the line right now?
This is Ray from Big Lake.
Hi, Ray. We're live on the air here on the A-List. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So, Tassos, I'm trying to get Marie on the line. I'm having a little bit of technical issues. Of course, you've been a great sponsor of the San Francisco Blogging Club, and which, you know, is such a great thing. Fun actually to see after the first meetup. The second one happens tonight at 5:30 at 111 Minna in San Francisco. But after the first one, Tom Voremski of Silicon Valley Watcher, formerly of Financial Times, was funny to see him talk about potentially blogging making a comeback. What did you think of that? What do you think about the state of the blogosphere today?
Well, I think it's interesting. I don't think it's going anywhere, right? So, you know, certainly I think it is competing against other forms of social media that have popped up, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, and I'm sure that a lot of people, you know, even I find myself, you know, falling victim of the kind of Facebook trap as you kind of just get sucked into Facebook, and I see that as a challenge. But I see blogging continuing to grow, and I think it serves a different kind of niche in the user generated content field. So I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I think it's definitely due for a resurgence. I mean, certainly, you know, it's play to your content type. I know Murray is trying to be on the line, but for some reason I can't unmute him. So Murray, if you want to give a call back in. You might as well hang up and go ahead and do that now. But I appreciate, Ray, you being on the line to chat with us. So tell us more about, while I have you here, since you're, you know, fabulously offering us beverages at tonight's meetup as well as the previous, talk a little bit about what it is that that your company does in the social media space.
Sure. So we have the... We have a technology that helps blogger or forum owners or anyone with any sort of user-generated content to deal sites that allows them to easily post one piece of code into the website and start to make money by promoting products that they previously might have promoted or and not gotten compensated for. So on the back end, we're hooked up into basically every affiliate program in the entire world and then also connected to all the retail partners within all those affiliate programs. So we have, you know, I think within the blogging community, there's you know, different verticals of bloggers, right? So we have bloggers who are blogging about their life. We have bloggers who are blogging about technology products and they're trying to actually, you know, create and drive revenue through their blog. This is a great product. So what you can do, instead of joining all these affiliate programs, copying and pasting affiliate links in and out of the different affiliate networks, they deploy our technology. Our magic kind of happens on the back end. They just post the link to whatever product that they're trying to promote. And if someone uses it and goes through that link and actually purchases something, then the blogger gets credit through our system. So it's just a way to make, it just takes a lot of the complexity out of affiliate marketing inside of blogs and make it a much easier process for bloggers or anybody with user-generated content to to drive revenue to their sites.
Well, that's really interesting because it always does seem like it's so daunting, you know, to think about trying to integrate any kind of, you know, affiliate marketing piece into your blog. So it sounds like you make it really simple.
Yeah, it's a very complicated process. You know, and there's a lot of ways for bloggers to create revenue streams for their blog, right? So there's AdSense, there's different display, but within the affiliate space, it's not very user friendly, right? So either you're going into these different affiliate systems, and retail partners have their choice of working with basically any aggregator of affiliate programs. So there's no one-stop shop, and that's what we're trying to be. And that's what we've created and we've done over the last couple of years. So it takes all the complexity, all the guesswork out of affiliate marketing. It really allows people who are managing their blogs to focus on the content rather than trying to figure out how to affiliatize links. So it's a really nice system, and you know, we have a huge blog following using our technology.
Fantastic. And I think we have Murray on the line now. Murray, is that you there?
Hello,
Murray. So Mr. Murray Newlands, the founder of two blogging clubs. We were just chatting with Ray, Raymond Lyle, who's president of VigLink. I think is that the way you say the name of the company, Ray?
It's VigLink.
VigLink.
Yeah.
VigLink, so making affiliate marketing easier so you can make money from your blog. But over to you, Murray, having created two blogging clubs, and the word club is so great, I think, for making people feel welcome. You've got the second meeting happening tonight at 111 Minna Gallery in San Francisco. Let's talk a little bit about what people can expect if they decide to come and join tonight.
Well, I started the London Blog Club about 9 months ago. There was a little blogging meetup in London, which was being run by someone else, and we just felt that we were going and we weren't learning anything, and we wanted to create in London an environment for bloggers to be able to come along, to be able to hear from an expert who could really give them some great tips, and then that was something that people could discuss for the evening, as well as swapping other tips about blogging. And so I created that about 9 months ago in London, and that really took off. There were about 100 people a month go in London to that regular meetup. And then when I moved to San Francisco a couple of months ago, I thought it would be great to try and start the same thing over here. And the first meetup had about 120 people come to it, and we had Dana O'Shea speaking, who is fantastic. She used to write for Mashable. She writes for Rewrite Web. She works as an internal consultant for a company who've got 150 blogs to help manage. And she really advises them on how to become better bloggers and how to monetize their content. And so this evening we have 120 people booked now. And actually, I'm pleased to say that you're the speaker tonight.
with recovering bronchitis, so... Apologies in advance if I don't sound as good as I should, especially given that I like to talk about different content types, like podcasting.
So tonight, Jennifer, you will be giving some great content on how they can have the podcast well. And also, it's not just – so that normally the format is I give a very brief introduction, and then we're fortunate enough to have two drink sponsors, so VigLink and iSocket are the drink sponsors, so there's some free beverages. And then obviously you'll be giving your talk. And then really it's an opportunity for bloggers to swap tips, swap ideas, talk about what they're doing, and really get to know a community of bloggers. Because one of the things about blogging I found over the years is that though you might meet people online, you can get some amazing tips and ideas, and just swapping stories and swapping ideas can be a fantastic way to get your blog to grow, and also just to encourage you to keep on blogging, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
People often find that they're doing it on their own or in isolation. And it's great to be able to get together and have a sort of community and really build something.
I think it's interesting because now that you've created two blog clubs, you have the opportunity to kind of compare and contrast also. And I'm curious if you notice differences in the people that attend, or at least attended the first of the club meetings here in San Francisco versus kind of the way that the London Blogging Club came about.
I think in part the London Blog Club, we started off with 12 people came to the first meetup. So to have 100-odd people come to the first one here, just a slightly different atmosphere and environment in that the London one kind of was my friends and a couple of other people. And this one, because it started off so well, it's just more of a large group. I think really though, it's partly, they're quite similar, and that probably comes down to offering a similar type of experience. And environment in both occasions. Really, it's about education and learning and sharing and being together as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if you want to learn more about blogging, then that's a great opportunity to find out more information. So in both environments, we have bloggers of all kinds. Come along to the meetups. Everyone from people who are thinking about having a blog through to people who've got a small blog and maybe been blogging for a few years through to we have someone from the San Francisco Chronicle who obviously writes as a serious journalist come along. So we have all kinds of different bloggers, all kinds of different things they're writing about. Sometimes you'll be lucky enough to find someone who's writing about a similar thing, or sometimes it's just lots of other people who've come along. We had in London, we had the UK's largest chocolate blogger, who was telling about his experiences going to different chocolate factories, getting free chocolate in post every day. But the fact that was it Cadbury's wouldn't engage, but all of the other chocolate brands would. we had my friend Ariel Adams came along. And he's a watch blogger.
Oh, he's fantastic. He has a great show here on Blog Talk Radio as well, the Gut 2.0 show.
And he, to be flown around the world to talk about watches is a fairly fascinating thing. And he started out full-time a couple of years ago, so he's really done amazingly.
Well, I think it's pretty amazing to create two blogging clubs. I'm curious, for both of you, this is directed at both you, Murray, and Ray, if you could answer afterwards, because I'm sure that you both from different perspectives get asked questions. And just sort of that generic question, what do you get asked most often about blogging, Murray?
I think it's, the questions that most often are really the simplest thing, in that, particularly with bloggers, people start out and they think that, okay, let's create a blog, and maybe they have a blog for their personal life or for their business, but they start, but they're not really sure the direction to go in and how to take it somewhere. So for me, it's questions often, so I kind of have a blog and I want to use it for my business, or I want to use it to promote an idea or an event or something, and how should I do that? And I say, well, look at what people are searching for, look at what people are interested in, and often searching around on Twitter as to what people are talking about within a topic, and just know what your audience is looking for, and then try and produce the content that that people who are looking for whatever it is that you want to talk about want to be engaged with. So I had an interesting guy. He was a lawyer, and he had a blog. And he was blogging about all kinds of different things. But I said, so do you blog about actually the services you offer as a lawyer? Do you blog about the commonly asked questions you have? Well, no. Well, why not? If that's what you want to be engaged with, then if you produce that content, then you'll create an audience around those answers. If you're looking to monetize your blog, once again, it's creating that audience around those answers and then having the opportunity to maybe discuss some of the products and services available within that niche and link out to those. And that's a way to monetize the blog as well. I think really a lot of bloggers is just finding their direction and finding out how to engage with the audience about the topics that they want to engage with.
Ray, what would you say you get asked the most?
You know, I'd have to agree on with Murray about some of the questions I get. You know, I would say I get a lot of, you know, how can I utilize with this with my business and or my personal life, and should I have one? And once they do, they go ahead and they create a blog, and they're like, well, no one's reading it. It's like, well, now the easy part is almost writing the content, right, and kind of figuring out, like, what are you doing? What are you writing a blog for? Is it because you want to express your feelings? Are you trying to sell something? Are you doing it for fun? And once you figure that out, then I get a lot of questions like, okay, well, how do I get people to the blog? So, you know, I recommend, you know, eventually if there's enough good content, you'll start being picked up by the search engines. But to start off, you know, it's cross-promoting this, whether it be through Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, all the different free kind of mediums you could use to promote your blog and get people interested. But at the end of the day, it's got to be interesting content, right? Because people aren't going to come to a blog that's boring or doesn't resonate with what, you know, their interests are. So it's, you know, it's partly like, why should I have one? And then the second part is, okay, I have one. Now how do I get people to blog?
Mm-hmm. So question, do you blog, Ray?
You know what, I do blog, but I spend a lot of time on Facebook. I'm not a big Twitter user, and I do spend a lot of time on forums. As Murray's kind of come out of the blog space, I've come out of the forum space. I've launched a few of the larger automotive and luxury lifestyle forums, but I've been in the forum space for like 10 years, which is... it's almost like a different kind of form of blogging, right? It's totally different. Yeah. So but there's a lot of similarities as well, right? So it's
super valuable, and that's, I think, the biggest similarity, and it gets overlooked a lot.
Yeah, it does. It's funny because it's, you know, bulletin boards, I mean, forums are basically just a somewhat more advanced way of the bulletin board system that's been around since, you know, the dawn of the internet. So it's interesting to see that as blogs really became popular, forums have always been around, but they haven't been very popular. So I think that a lot of people will end up on a forum as they're searching for a product or a topic just because they index so well, as well as a blog. And I'm sure there's a lot of consumers out there that don't even know they're on a blog or don't even know that they're on a forum, but the quality of the content is very good. And then they end up maybe joining or subscribing to the blog. So it's interesting to see how people actually get there as well.
Yeah, it's interesting that you should say that, because I work with a lot of clients where it's teaching them to respect the forum to the point where it usually does get included in a blog effort or a content effort somehow, because forum content is sort of sacred content. I think of it as more of like a private blogging network with much more basic tools in a lot of ways. So it's interesting. It's interesting that you come from that space. But I want to switch back to Murray, because, of course, you coming from the blog world, you have a lot of valuable insights and a ton of valuable connections to some amazing people. And we talked, the name of the show is also about how to make a blog book. And you have a free download for people that we should let people know about, because that might actually help inspire them, whether they decide they want to come out tonight or if they're not in the San Francisco Bay Area, to empower them to get going with blogging or to start thinking about the ways other bloggers think about their blog in some different categories. You want to talk about that, Murray?
Yeah, so I get lots of questions about simple things, from how to set up a blog through to what should I be blogging about and how should I create content and what should I create it about. And so I created a little free download, which is at howtomakeablog.com. And I wrote a lot of that, and then I reached out to different people who are all experts at blogging, have been blogging for a number of years, I asked them about their blogs and also about their top tips for bloggers. That has over 100 tips in it, bits of advice, blogs to read, and by some of the best bloggers I know on both sides of the Atlantic. So, if you're looking for a place to start learning about blogging, then I just have created that resource. And I'm giving it away free because I just want to be able to share with people my tips and advice on blogging.
Yeah, and there's nothing better than something free to get you going, because you talk about a few different areas of interest to people. So you have some really remarkable people, like a lot of people, obviously, for reasons that, are clear, love Chris Brogan. You know, he's one of those bloggers that you feel like you can trust. And he's contributed to your book, and I contributed as well. What did Chris contribute? Can you talk about what he was able to bring to the fore? Did anybody bring anything to the fore that surprised you?
I think what's great about what Chris contributed is that he's such a well-known blogger, and he doesn't normally do interviews for that many books, that many publications. And so to really just get an interview for him was great. I'm just scrolling down to get to that interview. I met Chris at a conference 2 years ago, and although he's super well known and he speaks at many conferences, one of the things that he does really is to really try and connect with different people across the industry. So I knew he'd be up for helping me with my project. So he said the first tip that he had was to listen. And as I was describing, if you listen across Twitter, if you listen across different blogs, you'll find out what people are searching for. And by supplying the content that people are searching for, you're able to supply answers. People are often looking online for answers and for a resource guide. That's a great place to start when you're creating your content. The other thing that he said, for example, are to be in the buyer's head, not the seller's head. So what that means is to just work out, okay, if I want to buy, if I'm looking to buy a washing machine, then I might be looking for example, where to buy washing machines in San Francisco, rather than get your washing machine here. So just to focus on, if you're going to create a blog for monetization, try and create the content in focusing on what people are going to be looking for when they're looking to buy something. Another point, the great point that he actually had was to create a business plan, even if it's simple, around your blog, because if you're going to use it to promote something, you need to actually treat it as a business. And work out exactly why you're doing it, where you're doing it, how much time and effort to put into it, so that you're working out what return you're getting on it, and are you really getting a return. Another great point he said was to make mistakes. Look, I've tried all kinds of things in blogging over the last few years, and only by making those, by being open to try things and make mistakes, can you learn. And also you've got those tips to learn and swap with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some of the great tips that he had in creating a blog and going for it. And so he said, unless you're a surgeon or a pilot, those are people we don't want to make mistakes. But everyone else we do want to make mistakes. We want them to try different things and learn different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think another good thing that you have here is in the free download book, ebook, is just the concept of how to find what people are searching for. Because I get asked that question all the time as sort of the follow-up is, you should know what's trending, you should know, I think those of us that are this is our business, this is our life, we know where to go. But a lot of other people that are sort of outside, they don't know how to look for those topics, or they assume that they're going to be things, and she's probably on the list, but things like Britney Spears or Lady Gaga that they don't necessarily care to write about. But if you dig deep enough, it's still, you can still find something of relevance in those lists. But where do you recommend people go to find those types of things? And I'll ask both of you, because I'm sure, Ray, you probably have a different perspective. I'd love to get your perspective, given that you come from the forum world.
So if I tell it first, if you just search on Google for Google keyword tools, you can type in, that will give you a tool that Google has that tells you what people are searching for and the volume of those searches. So that will give you some great information. And you can simply type in something very broad such as cat, and it will give you all of the other terms people search for around cat, such as vets, etc. Something else to say is very easy to do is to search for, say, either search on Twitter or search on Facebook for just a topic and see what's really popular. If you find a massive Facebook fan page or lots of people tweeting about a particular topic, then that's obviously content that people are interested in. There's also Google Trends is another great area, and that will tell you what's trending. It's always amazing. I know some bloggers in London, anyway, who will look at, say, whether it's Lady Gaga or whatever it is, and let's say they're blogging about shoes or makeup, and they will find out that Lady Gaga is trending, and they'll blog about Lady Gaga's latest shoes, and that will get picked up, and then they'll get traffic around Lady Gaga's shoes, and hopefully if they have some good content, then those visitors might revisit the site in the future.
Exactly. That's a very good point.
You can look at what's trending, what's popular, and try and tap into that. Occasionally, even you'll see mainstream press do exactly that. And it's really looking at what people are interested in at the time, and then trying to create your content along those niches. And I think it's Pro Blogger who had who used to do that and get into Dig all the time. So he would have 10 trends Action Man would like about social media, for example.
Sharon is great with that.
So you can go. One of the tips, I suppose, for blogging is to think beyond the niche that you're in. So, as I say, if you're blogging about shoes, if you write about 10 shoe choices that Lady Gaga likes, you're able to reach into Lady Gaga's audience and not just the shoe audience.
So, moving over to Raymond, I would love to know from your perspective, certainly in the B2B space, when I work with companies that are let's say tech companies in the B2B space, so is a pretty typical scenario. And I have the talk with them about, creating content of value and looking for what people are searching for. A lot of times forums do provide a really good look at what is relevant to people in the context of B2B, but are related areas that they can talk about. So, is customer support and customer service coming up a lot? Is there a particular release of a product that people are buzzing about because they're either excited or upset about it for some particular reason, or a competitor that's sounding off a lot? What is your perspective on using online dialogue, whether it be in a forum or on a website or where people are searching, to find content that's relevant to you based on what people are searching for or talking about?
Yeah, I get this all the time. It's interesting because finally the larger companies, the OEMs, are kind of watching what people are saying about the product. So really, in the first time in history, companies are able to gauge consumer interaction with their goods on almost a real-time basis. So previously, there were surveys, there were things done in the past, but it was a very latent kind of reaction to, is this product good or not? So, simply setting up a Google alert around a keyword string of your product or something that you're interested in, it will give you live feeds of every time that product or that keyword string is indexed. And most of the time, you know, when I do it for the things I'm watching, it's either a blog, Twitter, or a forum, because the content is constantly being updated. So we have a lot of the large, like say Ford has a new product, a new car that's put into the marketplace, and they're trying to gauge the interest. So what they're doing is they're also watching what the reaction is. So as people are talking on blogs and forums about this car, whether, hey, it's the greatest car ever, or, you know what, it's terrible and I would not recommend it, it not only gives them a way to see and hear that, but it also gives them an unprecedented opportunity to respond, right? So they can actually go back into this forum or a blog and actually reply and make good on maybe a bad situation. Maybe it's merely someone had a bad experience in the when they brought their car into the shop and it hasn't been resolved, and they're making a lot of noise about it. It gives the opportunity for the bigger company to come in and fix the problem before it spreads. So it's really interesting how quick the data is coming back, whether products or new things are liked or not liked, and also on the other flip side, the ability for companies to address the situation, whether good, bad, or indifferent.
So in terms of space that you've been in the past, how do you think, because it seems like the one thing that keeps coming to mind for me in terms of the forum space is it seems like, you know, forum software, the way that it displays, seems so outdated. Why wouldn't people just migrate to blogs or start commenting on blog posts? But it's really a different kind of animal. So I guess one question would be, do you think there's an audience within the forum community that really should tap into blogging? I mean, is that a new, basically, segment that have been using forums that could potentially tap into their own blog to exercise their voice and build community?
Yeah, I'm seeing a combination of both. Even within the forum software, there's blogging capabilities now that's in addition. So, you know, I think they work with each other very well. Right, so I think the blog can kind of strike the conversation, and then the forum could either, people could reply back and forth within the forum or in the blog. So the interesting thing is, as you know, because both are so text and content rich, they index so well, right? So people are actually finding this. But you're right. I mean, the forums look just as outdated as they did 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It's not a quote unquote sexy place for advertisers to advertise. So it's just kind of been this very strange nexus of information from every topic, from automotive to sewing, that's been sitting there and gaining more and more knowledge base over the years, right? Because it's just a continuous drip of knowledge into a forum or a blog, right? So we're finally seeing companies like what we're doing, and just companies in general, trying to address this, saying, look, you know, if you're searching for something, you're going to have the person who makes this, you know, and then the second two listings or the second and third listing will be a blog or a forum, because that's where the content is. So, as 1.0-ish as they may look, they still are the kind of treasure chest of knowledge about any particular subject.
Yeah, you got to take into consideration all the different kinds of conversation happening. And I was looking at the quotes about Murray on his How to Make a Blog Book download site, which is, by the way, at howtomakeablogbook.com, in case you want to go and download it while we're talking about it. And I thought it was funny that the first, and maybe this is because you're English, it's slightly, I don't know, talks about you with letting someone else sort of talk you up, which is something that seems like it would embarrass you, Murray. But but Steve Hall saying that he's watched with a fair degree of jealousy with you rising to the top of the blogosphere. Talk to us about your own journey in terms of blog writing, and then how you've become connected to all these amazing people that are that give interviews in your blog book, ebook.
For me, I started out, I suppose, in affiliate marketing, and I was doing a project for a carbon offsetting company while I was in San Francisco, and they asked me to help them to reach out to some bloggers. And I thought, in order to do this, I really ought to understand what blogging is, etc. And so I set up my own blog. What was really interesting is that, and to a certain extent, if you're not in the world of blogging, you don't necessarily connect with the people that are. I certainly hadn't. I'd been on blogs and I'd read blogs, so I hadn't really connected with any bloggers. And for a number of years, I'd been going to events in the online marketing space, and I had got to know Steve Hall, and he told me he had a blog. And I thought, that's nice. I don't know what that is. But and then when I launched my blog, he wrote about me and my blog. But when I was thinking about writing a blog, I said, so tell me about this blog thing that you have. And he said, I get, you know, between 15 and 20,000 people reading my blog a day, and it's my full-time job. And I thought, hold on a minute, there's something to this. And then really, I've been working in the online market space for 15 years now. And so I really sort of made a study of working at how to make my blog grow. And one of the things, when I was setting up my blog, I read a book called Make It Stick. And part of that, one of the stories in that is the story of a local newspaper. And they said one of the reasons why local newspapers can work is if they really connect with a community. One way to do that is to feature community people within your blog. So for the first 9 months of my blog, every day, pretty much, I had an interview with the different bloggers. And I found interviewing bloggers for my blog was a phenomenal way to reach out to people, to provide them a platform to shine. And by enabling other people to shine, I could connect with people across the industry which I was working in. And that led to tremendous growth in my blog and an opportunity to get to know loads of people. And obviously what was great was that when I was publishing the interviews, not only would I publish them, but they would then often tweet about them, they'd put them on their Facebook wall, sometimes they would they'd blog about those interviews. And so they effectively shared their audience with my blog, and that really helped my blog to grow dynamically. The thing that I do is I go to lots of conferences and events in my industry.
Or you give them.
To network on a personal basis.
Should also say that you and Luke Brindley-Jones have, I guess it's a company, right, that runs events called Influence People. So that's why I said, or run them, because you and Luke actually create some really spectacular events. I know that there have been several sort of more specific events on email marketing and social media monitoring here in San Francisco, but there was what I consider to be, it was the SMMSF hashtag, if you look on Twitter, but it was a social media marketing conference. And what was so cool about it is that the way that it took place, it was a one-day conference and very different, very accessible for a lot of people. I saw in the room were the kind of people that I'd see at other events that were more networking, and they needed to get some detail about how to really dig in and get something done. And you had a really good mix of people there to actually give answers and empower people. And since then, I've seen them come and go at other conferences, but in catching up with them, you hear about them growing. You know, they learned something at that conference. And it seems like that conference really filled a niche that was sorely lacking. And I think part of it was just putting social media together with marketing as opposed to public relations, because this area, you know, obviously with Todd Dufferin and PR Squared and Brian Solis and FutureWorks PR 2.0, you know, I think people had thought about the social media press release and all these other things related to social media as more the context of PR, yet as social media has siloed, it's in lots of different pieces of the organization, and it's maybe more even in marketing than it has been in PR. So I think it was one of those things that opened the gap just by using the right nomenclature, if you will.
So thank you. So for me, an event is in a way similar to a blog post. You have think about a triangle in your mind. You've got you creating the content. You've got the audience, and you've got the content, and you're trying to do all of that. If you sort of bring that out to a square, within the other corner being what you might promote or advertise. So for an event, you have to create this event. You have to get some great content, a reason for people to come, something they want to learn, to share, to be part of, to help create, maybe if it's partly networking. Then you also have to be able to monetize that. You have to be able to either sell your own service or be selling someone else's services through that. And if you're unable to make any of those elements work successfully, then it won't be a successful event. So we try really hard with the one-day event, just as I do with the blogging club, to actually make sure that there is really great content there, which is a reason for people to come back and to participate in it. That will mean that lots of people want to come to and be part of it. With our events, that's led to some great sponsors, so that's led to us being able to run them across America. And I think if you're creating your own blog, you should also be thinking in the same terms of you've got to create great content, you've got to be able to market that content out, and that will lead to people coming back. And then also, if you're able to do that, if you create content around products and services that you might mention either in passing or part of it, such as a review, then if you link out to that, then there's an opportunity for you for people to click on that link and go through, and that could either be monetized by an affiliate link with something like VigLink, or just being clicked through to your products and services that you create as a small business, or it could even be that they're clicking through to a cause that you're passionate about and you want people to engage in. So it's creating content with, creating content with thought.
Is my
theme.
And sort of timing, too. I know at that event I was on a panel, and I warned everybody in the audience that if they Facebook friended me or followed me on Twitter, that they would get bombarded with all the cause stuff that I do on the weekends when I don't have time to do it during the week. So I'm one of those freaky people that do fill out petitions and, you know, express their views. And I tend to be pretty open about those, you know, protecting children and, you know, different causes that I think are important, and, you know, companies that I, you know, donate time to or have worked with in the nonprofit sphere as well. So I think, you know, that's one thing I will warn people about, you know, and so that kind of, I put that into my mind as sort of the calendar of events and the sequence in which I will write about things. And I know that, you know, several really successful bloggers talk a lot about having some sort of calendar. Chris Bergen put it in terms of a business plan. Brian Solis won one of the Blogger of the Year awards last year, and he definitely utilizes an editorial calendar. Of course, now he's also branching out into video, but, you know, I remember talking with him last year at LaWeb, and he was saying how there was a post that he put out, or there was a post that had gone up that I really enjoyed. And I was talking with him about it, and he said, you know, I wrote that 6 months ago. And, you know, it's something where, you know, he has these evergreen thoughts that, you know, he might have to add to, but really he's just keeping, you know, on a schedule and has a particular day where he knocks out a certain amount of posts. And, you know, that's how he does it from both a business and enjoyment perspective. So he, you know, can just create new content as things come up. So lots of bloggers today are writing, for example, about that tend to review those, like Lewis Gray, who are out there observing startups and, you know, kind of the stealth companies that are out there, but path launched. And, you know, a lot of people are asking questions about whether it was as cool as everyone thought it was going to be, or, you know, if Instagram or some other competitor is better. So there's a space, too, for that sort of commentary type personality where you have some sort of subject matter expertise, because part of one of my suggestions is always play to your strengths. You know, if you are an expert in a particular area, then you should definitely be exploiting that in some way.
Well, I see that as really just, yeah, it's becoming an expert. And for example, if let's say you want to buy a new car, if you have a friend who every time you go to parties or every time you see them, they're just a car nut. They know all about. They read the car magazines. They read the reviews. They go and test them.
They're a Top Gear fan. They hate Jeremy Clarkson or love him. One or the other.
Exactly. If you want to buy a car, at that moment you'll be like, okay, I remember this guy. I'm going to go and find that person and connect with them. And so if you, with your blog, you can create that content. And so your blog is an opportunity for you to find something you're really passionate about and express yourself about that. And then people will engage with that as and when they want to connect with that. And one of the things about having a schedule, for example, is it enables you to be somewhat more methodical about the content that you produce. So, for example, you might have some thought pieces about cars that go out on a Monday. You might have reviews that go out on a Tuesday, and the latest car launches that go out on a Thursday. And that way, you can cover a whole range of different topics. People know about the type of content, and the fact it's going to come out on a continuum. And also it enables you to have that mix of both theory and maybe some more practical stuff. And once again, with the more practical stuff, maybe that's an opportunity for you to have content that might be that you might be able to monetize.
Now we have the benefit of Ray. Ray, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
I really would love to get your thoughts here, too, because Murray just touched on a point that I was actually going to ask about. And Murray, feel free to weigh in here, too, but I would like to bring Ray back into the conversation about how utilizing editorial calendar as well as having maybe being able to put more thought into a post because you have time to add to it and it's sitting in a calendar where, you know, there's not the pressure to perform, shall we say, for lack of a better term. How does that affect the marketability or the profitability of a blog?
Well, so basically we're asking, like, what you know, if you have a certain passion about the subject, does it increase or decrease your chances of having a successful blog or forum or anything else?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It turns from work into something pleasurable. You know, to be able to kind of get paid for what you love to do. I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about here, right? So, if you are passionate about watches and are lucky enough to have a blog that you can write about watches and make a living off of it. That's fantastic, and because you're passionate about it, not only are you probably an expert, so it's very easy for you to come up with content, but you're also going to get a lot of other people who may be not experts who are also enjoy the subject matter who are going to interact and ask you questions about that and kind of dig into all the knowledge that you know. So, and obviously, you know, the blogs or the forums that that I spend all my time on are ones that are interesting to me. So they're either, you know, usually automotive or watch-based forums because those are, you know, two of my favorite pastimes. So I think, yeah.
Okay, Ray, this is your second reference to cars at least. So now you have to tell us your favorite make of car, specific as you can, and your favorite make of watch.
Okay, so, you know...
Self-revelation time.
Yeah, you know what? I I have a few different favorite makes of cars. Like for an everyday car, I would say the Audi R8 is for a sports car. So it's like an exotic car you could drive every day. But for just pure like Sunday pleasure, you know, nothing beats a Lamborghini in my opinion. So Lamborghini car. So I'm a huge car guy. But for watches, I would say IWC because I have one, and Panerai.
Are you wearing it right now?
It's sitting on my desk, looking at me. It's really heavy, so when you sit there and type all day. But IWC, Panerai, and Roger Dubuis are my favorite watch brands. So, yeah. So
very good.
Go.
Now we've learned a little about Ray now too.
Yes.
So
yes, you have. Yes, you
we're
have.
Going to switch back over to Murray on the topic of making money on your blog and how the editorial calendar comes into play, because you were kind of in the middle of a thought. But you're welcome to – you used an automotive example. You're welcome to tell us about your favorite automobile. I think you're a motorcycle fan, though. So are you like a traditional motorcycle fan, what kind, or a Harley guy?
I would like a Harley. I just recently sold a Ducati 900 Monster, which
that's
was
much cooler, you know.
It was wonderful and terrifying at the same time.
watches.
So watches, I actually have a Cartier Roadster.
He has a Cartier.
Yeah. It's just a little bit more sort of dressy, but I like it, and I wear it all the time.
Those of you who have gone while we're sitting, while we've been on the air here, I'm messing up the URL to howtomakeablogbook.com. You will see that Murray has spiky blonde hair and looks like a punk rocker. So for you to say Cartier. I'm never going to get your style down perfectly, but back to the subject matter of hand, talking about things that make you passionate. I think one thing that's interesting too, beyond search, is I always like to point out to people sites like bloggersunite.org, where you can find these like International Human Rights Day. Did you know that it was December 10th? I had no idea. World AIDS Day, International Women's Day, Fight for Preemies, World Press Freedom Day. I mean, there's a day for everything, it seems like, all over the world. And so there's sites like that where they actually link back to you and you can add yourself to a category. You know, they're kind of valuable in that way in the sense that they give you a little bit of what we call link love, right? But it's more about, I think, in this sense, giving you something eventful to talk about that's on topic and hopefully taps into a passion that's, in this case, cause-related. But, you know, that really does help, you know, in terms of, you know, finding what it is that you want to write about, you know, finding what are those things that you're passionate about. Most people have something that they're passionate about. I took you guys on a tangent about cars and watches, but those are pretty universal things, and those are things that you can write a really successful blog post about 365 days a year, right?
Right. One of the things, so to focus on making money, one of the things I spoke to Jack over at VigLink recently, and we spoke to Dana about, Dana who spoke at their last blog club, about really about making money in content. And one of the interesting tips and things that I sort of learned from speaking to both of them was that if you write and create content and have your users create content on a forum basis, around where people are buying and selling goods, services, and items, then that's great content for monetization. So to put this into context and give examples, let's say that you run a forum about cars. If you create a sub-forum in that car forum about buying and selling cars, then when people are, that content will be about buying and selling cars, and when people are buying and selling cars, that content will appear in Google and people will come there, or users from the forum will actually engage in buying and selling cars through the forum. And that's a moment when advertisers want to advertise. That's a moment when you can direct people to different sites to either buy or sell their cars. So a moment of transaction. And the same with a blog. If you create content on your blog about, say, a buyer's guide to buying cars, or you create content each month about, or say, on a calendar of the best cars to buy or tips for buying cars, then you're actually reaching your audience at the time when they're looking at purchasing or looking at making a buying decision. And that's a time of particular value to either yourself or to retailers. So one of the key tips is to actually look at the subject you're producing altogether, and then look at producing content around the purchasing moment, purchasing decisions, purchasing times for your users. And that will create really valuable content.
Mm. Yeah, and also thinking about, you know, usability. I always love, you know, subscribing to white papers around how people search for things. So I remember we did some usability testing at a company that I worked at and found that generally speaking, when people in North America use singular, they're actually doing searches related to looking up information about a product. But when they use plurals, they're actually in buying mode for whatever reason. So shoe versus shoes, shoe would be the person looking to get information about different brands and what they might want to buy. And shoes usually will indicate, at least in what we had researched at that time, which was about 3 years ago, that people were more ready to actually make the purchase, which I thought was fascinating when you consider just that small change that you can make. And, you know, you consider, you know, one of the things we've talked about is content, but when I talked about Darren Rouse earlier, one of the things I love about him is his headlines. He creates the most intriguing headlines. And there's other people that may write more thoughtful, provoking content. That's not his thing. You know, he's pretty straightforward, and you get, you know, his titles are great in that they never promise more than they are. Usually they outperform the simplicity of their title. So what you name something ultimately and the way that it comes up in search and so forth is incredibly important. So think about the pieces of content that also are the most public and will actually be the most potentially viral in terms of people sharing or clicking on your link, you know, because they're inherently sticky because of their name or something like that, something simple.
People love lists. So a great title for a post about cars is 10 tips for buying a Audi 8.
Absolutely.
And then that's a great post that people will share. It's a post that people will find when they're searching for how to buy that type of car. And also it's a piece of content that you can easily add. For example, if you're doing it as an affiliate, you can add affiliate links in to different car manufacturers. So it's kind of creating content with the, let's say excuse, but maybe that's with the purpose of creating content around the buying moments for your users. And that will enable you to engage there. And that's equally, you know, if you're a small business owner, if you have a garage, if you created that, you could then link to the cars that you were selling, or the watches that you were selling, or whatever it is. So if you deliberately, purposely create content around the buying proposition, then that's a great way to create monetizable content. And say within a forum, you can easily do that by enabling your users to have that space to buy and sell items within your forum.
That's fantastic. Well, ending on the note of monetization, cold hard cash, we will wrap up this edition of the A-List. I thank you, Murray Newlands. Go download his How to Make a Blog Book at howtomakeablogbook.com or join us for the San Francisco Blogging Club meetup tonight at 5:30 at 111 Minna Gallery in San Francisco. Appreciate you being on, Murray, and thank you so much to Ray Lyle, who's president of, and I'm going to say it wrong, VigLink.
No, you said it right.
Yay, I win.
Yay.
VigLink.
Thank
you for providing us with adult beverages, being one of the sponsors tonight, and for all of your insight on the program today. Appreciate you being on.
For sure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys. And I want to thank you all for tuning into the A-List today with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Come back for more Monday next week, 12 noon Pacific time. See you then.